Factor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Everybody, telephone number to be with me on the show and talk organic gardening, farming, ranching, landscaping, pest control, or whatever is on your mind. Give us a call at 866-444-3478. I will mention once. Well, first of all, I need to tell you this hour is brought to you by Dr. O'Hara's products, the probiotic product, which I think is the very best on the market. It's what Judy and I take on a very regular basis, and I highly recommend it to you if you're not already taking it. And the other products, like Chia Omega from the Essential Formulas, people, essentialformulas.com for information on the products there that I recommend. If you missed the conversation in the first hour, Judy and I took a trip, a road trip this past week that I recommend to you. You may or may not be a Walmart and Sam's fan, but the people... the family, I think, not just the corporation, but the family, and maybe the corporation involved in it as well, has funded a museum in northwestern Arkansas that is just terrific. It's just an incredibly well-done project. It's called Crystal Bridges, and we've talked about it a little bit on the air. Some of the listeners called a week or so ago, and we chatted about how good it is. So we drove up there. We stayed in a hotel that we also recommend. It's 21C, and it's a museum also, contemporary. And all the art in this museum is American art. Beautiful thing in it in every way. The architecture is incredible. The art's great. And we have done a slideshow and turned it into a video. Combination video slideshow that is in the members area of dirtdoctor.com. So those of you that are members, you can go there. It'll be at the top of the list of things that are in the private section of the website. And I took pictures inside the museum of the art, and I was delighted to be able to do that. All you had to do in this case was not have the flash on, and they were more than happy to have you taking photographs of the art, and there's some really interesting art there. You can go to Facebook and see a good smattering of the entire trip, from the museum, Crystal Bridges, to the hotel we stayed in, the green penguins that are pretty fascinating that you can learn about it when you read about the museum. And we can talk about it more, too, if you want to. But also, we went over to Eureka Springs, spent some time there, went to the old Crescent Hotel, which is supposed to be haunted, and it's an interesting place. Anyway, beautiful views and all that, a lot of good sites, a lot of good restaurants. Too early for fall color, so those of you thinking about maybe a road trip, it's about a six-hour drive from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, free to get in to the museum. Closed on Tuesday. Be careful about that. We almost messed up. We had planned to spend Tuesday there, and luckily we walked through the museum in the Howard and Logan way of experiencing a museum, which means very quickly on our first day there, Monday. And then we spent Tuesday over in Eureka Springs. So anyway, you can see pictures on Facebook. Go check that out. And then more detailed photographs, slideshow in the members area for those of you members. If you're not a member, you can join real easily right online on dirtdoctor.com. Inexpensive, and there's a bunch of benefits that you can see as you look at the sign-up page there on dirtdoctor.com. June, listening on 660, the answer, Campbell, Texas. Hi, June.
Hello, Howard. You're going to have to put on your fireman's hat for this story.
All right.
Okay.
I have been a fireman in my career.
I know. We appreciate that part of you, too. When I groomed dogs and a dog would come in that had fleas, then come dusk, and that is the only time this works out of the 24 hours of the day, because once it becomes night, it no longer works. Come dusk, we would lay a strip of aluminum foil in our floor, and then we would light little 2-inch candles, and fleas will come hopping in at dusk right into the candle and kill themselves. They will hop into the fire. We got that from the fact that Indians, in their times of tents, would set up a fire surrounding their tent on the outside, and all the fleas would hop into the fire and burn themselves before the people crawled into their tent to sleep for the night.
Well, now, we've heard of traps being used inside the house where you put a light over a dish of some kind of oil, and they would, hopping for the light, fall into the oil. But I haven't heard about
that. Will work as well.
This
I did
idea.
That one as a backup, just in case we missed some of them.
Now, how
we
did you do it exactly again? You put a strip of tin foil
on the floor.
On the ground, on the floor.
And then we put those little 2-inch candles, like on the Volta candle, you know, the little 2-inch ones that you can sit around in your rooms.
That are in a little glass?
A little glass,
okay.
And we even left them in the little glass, but we just put the foil to protect our floor.
Sure.
And then you could hear, if you got one dog in that had a lot of fleas, you could hear those fleas hopping across that foil. And that we kind of enjoyed listening, you know, just like the fun of listening to how stupid this sounds for them to be hopping towards that flame, and they would jump into the flame.
Drawn themselves to the flame like a moth, huh?
Uh-huh, right into the flame.
Okay, well, I appreciate the tip. That's a pretty simple thing. You need to be careful about burning the house down, but
that's
other than
right. We got to have you with your fireman's hat watching. We sit there and watch it, and of course, once it comes dark, it no longer works. They might still be in your house, but they will not jump in once it only happens at dusk, but they will do it.
Right at dusk. Interesting.
It won't even, you can do it morning. We tried it morning, afternoon, any time of the day, just out of curiosity,
uh-huh,
because the way the Indians did it was right at dusk. And I guess it's something they knew. And
well, you know, that explains something maybe that my experience was that I did try the oil pan and the light over it, and I did it at night in the dog run, and we caught no fleas. So that your explanation there about the dusk thing explain that.
We just go ahead and blow out the candles once it got dark, because they weren't going to continue to hop once it got dark. And then if we thought we still had more, we'd be ready for dusk for the next night and light the candles and stay there and watch and listen. They'll hop in.
Well, a lot of people will be trying it, I'm sure, Jean. Thanks for the tip.
It was fun, too.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Yeah, and for those of you that are out there going through fireman, he had never talked about being a fireman. It's not in his bio. I was a fireman. Let's see. What was I? Junior in high school, Pittsburgh, Texas. I was a fireman at Lone Star Steel Company. I was kind of, you know, an intern type deal. And what they had an in-house fire department there, because it's a pretty dangerous place. Still is, I guess. It still is operation. But we would go out and stand by when some of the people were having to work with blowtorches and things in a dangerous area, and the open hearth furnaces and various places in the steel mill. Plus, I drove the ambulance. I was that was my job as the young whippersnapper. I drove ambulance as part of my job as being a fireman, and had some pretty interesting cases. We had a deal where they made bomb casings. It was a lot of what was being made at Lone Star Steel back in those days in the 60s. And one night, a fellow was on the ramp where the bomb casings that were 40 or 50 feet long and these great big, you know, 15-inch diameter pipe, 12 to 15-inch, whatever they were, would come rolling down this ramp. And he got caught in between two of the pipe, one of the pipe coming down and crushed his leg. And I got to take him in an ambulance over to Tyler, Texas. So we had some interesting experiences there, being a very, very young fireman at Lone Star Steel. Got an open line here for you at 866-444-3463. 978. Pat, listening on 660 in Garland. Hey, Pat.
Hello. Good morning. You know, a funny coincidence. I was sitting here reading a Herbal Treasures book about fleas. Y'all were talking about fleas. So I've got something interesting to pass along.
All right.
In this, she says that pennyroyal will repel fleas, and what you can do is...
I think that is a herb that can be useful. Can you hold on, Pat, so we don't rush?
Okay.
Hang on, I'll be back with you in just a bit. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Phone number here is 866-444-3478.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Now, one quick thing before we go back to the phones. On the trip, one of our stops that I recommend highly to you is the Thorn Crown Chapel near Eureka Springs in Arkansas. When you're going from Bentonville over to Eureka Springs, it's on the way. It was designed by the architect Faye Jones, who also did the chapel, the Marty Leonard Community Chapel in Fort Worth. Beautiful chapel. It's at the, I was thinking it was near the Lena Pope home place, but it's actually part of it and used by them with their clientele and everything there. So when you go to Fort Worth, you can see that one, and when you make the Arkansas trip, be sure and see the one. And we've got photographs on. Reason I've brought it up, you might wonder what the chapel is in the shots on my Facebook page, and that's what it is. Back to Pat in Garland. I'm sorry, Pat, for that break.
That's okay. What I was starting to say was about pennyroyal.
Uh-huh.
This wonderful herbal book has information about so many things, and she's talking about killing fleas or deterring them with pennyroyal in this particular part of the book. She said that planting pennyroyal plants around your house, and also take dried pennyroyal, just the powder, and sprinkle that in your carpet, in the cushions of your sofa, everything like that, under mattresses and around where the pets are. That will help deter them. Also, if your pet can be given a bath, then you make a tea of pennyroyal and use a cooled tea as a final rinse. Then she said also that pennyroyal will survive in temperatures as low as 40 degrees below zero. And it's a low-growing, good-looking ground
yeah.
cover.
Well, it's in my books, Pat, pennyroyal is, especially in my Herbs for Texas book, and we talk about that use for it. It's not foolproof. It helps quite a bit. I think it's been overblown by some herbalists about what all it will control, but I like it, and I think it is helpful. It's one of the mints that I wouldn't recommend you drink, but it's used, you know, as a little pretty ground cover.
Yeah.
And it's used in the ways that you're talking about. So you might want to check out our entry there. You can also check it out on our Facebook, on the website on dirtdoctor.com also.
One last point, if I may.
Sure.
She suggested that you take a cloth tube and stuff it with pennyroyal. Make that a collar around your pet's neck. If you have an outdoor pet, use elastic to hold it together so the pet is not in danger of choking. But I feel like all these things just would be wonderful working together. Plus, doesn't it smell good?
Yeah, it's got a good fragrance, and I've used it as a ground cover between stepping stones and things like that. It'll be killed out in a winter here in Dallas in a lot of cases. So that 40 below zero is kind of an exaggeration, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but it's still a good plant with really good uses. Check out what we write about it, and that'll probably temper what you read from others about it, the same plant.
Okay, well, right. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Pennyroyal, the herb pennyroyal. It's Diane's turn in Aledo, Texas. Hi, Diane.
Hello. I had two. I guess they're called standard roses.
Mm-hmm.
It's grafted onto something. I guess one of my questions is, what do you know what that is grafted onto?
You mean what the stock is that the top of the rose is grafted onto?
Yes.
It would depend. I don't know exactly which ones are the most used out there, but I'll tell you this, what they normally are roses that are like the wild roses or the antique roses that are growing on their own root system. They just use that root system to graft the big hybrids on top of, because the hybrids' root systems tend not to be that strong.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is back when we had all that wind, I have two in pots in front of my front door that are quite tall, and mm-hmm. they've been there for years. Anyway, the one snapped low in the pot, and I was wondering if I maybe could coax it to come back. I know roses are pretty hardy. And then my neighbor took the whole rest of it, and he's going to try to get the roots to come back from that. But I don't know what either one of us is going to get if we get something to come back.
Well, I don't either, but it's fun to find out and see what happens. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
See what gives. Most of the roses that I recommend, and I've got them listed on the website under roses in the library, and there's 15 or 20, and all the ones that I like the most are on their own rootstock. So what comes back from yours, you'll just have to wait and see. I'll tell you one interesting little experiment that I did kind of accidentally recently. The Duchère rose, or Duché, people like to say, that we have at the office right at the corner got too big. It just got way out of hand. It became mm-hmm. a huge plant. And I thought, well, I've got enough plants, and it's probably time to take this out and maybe plant a little smaller scale rose there. So I took it out, and now it's growing back from the roots from underground and looks beautiful as a little small rose with white flowers all over it.
Right. I've got one that I keep cutting down that I just don't want it there anymore, and it keeps coming back. They're determined.
Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I was talking to Diane off the air a little bit more there, and she asked me about transplanting roses. What's the best time, ideal time to do that? We're just about at that point for a lot of you listening to me. The ideal time for transplanting most everything is when the fall color really shows up in the deciduous plants. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it apparently is not the same all across the country, the yellows tend to show up first. Elms, chinaberry trees have really pretty fall color, even though most people consider it a trash tree. Hackberries, you know, soapberry, a lot of plants have yellow fall color, and it tends to, around here, show up first. And then the red fall colors that you get from, some of the ornamental pears and the oaks and the rusty black haw viburnum and things like that show up second. So here, to be safe, when the red colors show up, that means you're definitely all the way into fall. Systems have shut down in the plant, and that is the ideal time to make the transplant. Because if you do it right when that happens, when between the yellow and red fall color would probably be the best time of all, you're going to catch the burst of root growth that happens in the fall on your transplanted plant. And then there'll be a little bit of growth, root growth, throughout the winter, and then in the spring they'll take off like they've been there for a long time. Some people recommend waiting till spring, and that's not good advice. You will miss that root growth in the fall and the winter, and your plants will not do nearly as well this next growing season as if you had planted in the fall, if you wait till the spring to plant. Now, an interesting caveat to that is when we were on the trip to Arkansas, the little bit of fall color that was already starting to show was red, not yellow. The reds were coming out before the yellows up there. Is that common? I don't have any idea. I really want to go back and see it more when it's into its color. Those of you that are experiencing that and around, give us a tip on it. Is it what we see here with yellows coming first and then the reds normally, and this is just an unusual year, or is that really what happens up there? Now, of course, they've got some different trees than we have. They've got maples, a lot more maples. They've got black gum as well as sweet gum. So there's a different mixture of trees, obviously, more like what happens over in East Texas and then more of the Midwest. Charlie's turn, calling from Burleson, Texas. Hey, Charlie. That was my fault. Charlie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
Got a backyard full of pecan hulls.
Mm-hmm.
The squirrels that are denuding my pecan trees.
Yeah.
They hurt your feet when they walk on them.
Yep.
They bother the dog's feet. What can I do with them?
Rake them up and throw them in the compost pile.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. It was either that or I figured that or burn them.
Yeah, you can. I tell you what, we're doing a little bit with the ginkgo. The ginkgo, our female ginkgo at home, has gotten bigger and bigger, and it's putting out fruit like crazy this year, and it's pretty messy. We're sucking it up with a shop vac in some cases. I also take the I've got electric blowers from two different companies, Steel and the Ego. Both are terrific. And I'll blow them into a spot and then suck them up with the shop vac.
Okay.
And that works pretty well, too.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I didn't know how those things would compost.
No, they'll be fine in the compost pile. No problem at all. The only specific variety that can be a little bit of a problem if you use too much of it in one place is walnut. Pecan, you don't have the issue, and even walnut, if you mix it with other things, it tends to not be a problem except for heavy use around nightshades, which means tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, yeah, and that sort of thing.
All right, then. Well, I guess I'll rake them up.
Get to work.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. The squirrels have been pretty busy this year. I was being bombarded yesterday by acorns that had been broken open and half eaten and the other half thrown at me. they are really chewing down on the acorns around our place. And I was noticing on trimming a viburnum up some dead wood out of our big snowball viburnum yesterday that there was a lot of old gnawing damage up in the tree. And you'll get that from squirrels. You can also get it from roof rats and other rodents as well. And it will happen primarily to trees that are in stress. And it dawned on me when I saw this damage, it was old damage. It was damage that was a year or longer old in the tree. And from the time it was done, I had done some flare exposure on that big viburnum, you know, which is a bush, not a tree. And it just shows that once you get the plant out of the stress it's in, that damage that the rodents will give you on a woody plant will, for the most part, usually go away. So if you're having rodent damage on your trees, and it's fairly common right now, it's very common when you have a droughty situation, they're looking for moisture as well as the nutrients. But if you have that damage going on, look at the base of the plant. If it's too deep in the ground, expose that flare. Most of the time, you'll solve the problem. Sean in Satilla.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
What's going on?
Not my question, but I noticed out my kitchen window the other day that squirrels were eating broken up horse apples. Well, Bodark apples.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I didn't realize they were going after the inside of it for something.
They will definitely eat Bodark, which is a little bit interesting, Sean. because there is a certain amount of boric acid and toxicity to a Bodark apple. In fact, people every year call me and tell me about this. I've never seen real strong personal results from it, but I've had all kinds of people tell me that if you take Bodark apples, the horse apples, and put them around the foundation of a house, under decks, places like that, that it will keep all kinds of pests away, especially roaches.
I've heard that too, and in fact, my grandparents, I think, or something, would occasionally they would take them and put some underneath in the compartment underneath the kitchen sink where it was moist.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, I'm planning on moving down to around west of Abilene, Austin, San Antonio,
okay,
Bandera area.
Yeah.
And it's pretty rocky. And I watched a video about people doing a garden, and they cleaned up the ground. It's pretty rocky and sandy probably down there. And they cleaned the ground up. They left the rocks that were like golf ball size. They didn't move those. And then they put down newsprint, about 3 or 4 layers of newspaper, and then they put like 4 inches of compost on top. I mean, a dump truck load.
Mm-hmm.
And then they covered it up with what you said, the mulch. And they planted it in that. And I was wondering also, is our old used cross ties, would that be a good border for above ground, a bed type garden?
I don't like railroad ties at all, Sean. If
right.
They've got enough creosote still left in them, they're toxic as they can be.
Right.
And if they don't have any creosote left in them, they're going to rot, and it's going to be a replacement situation. So it'd be better for you to use, you're going to be in the hill country anyway, use some of the native rock that's around there for your border, or just mound the beds up and slope the edges down. I don't have a problem with the bed preparation that you suggested, but it would be better if you had some of the native soil. I know there's not much native soil there, but get some native soil mixed in with that compost that you're putting on top of the paper and on top of the rock.
Yeah, what would you want to just go ahead and like till it?
Well, if you can till it, if it's not too rocky, that would be best. If it's too rocky and you're going to build the bed up completely above the rock, just mix some native soil or as close as you can get to native soil in with the compost.
Lava sand?
Lava sand, green sand, cornmeal, dry molasses, all their usual bed preparation, and you're off and running. You'll have great production the first season.
Yeah, and I'd plan on, I mean, I'm not going to have a place. When I get a place, it'll have a well, and they're in a drought down there. I talked to a girl in real estate. Yeah. They said, we've had a 10-year drought, so, if you don't water with either river water or well water, you're going to be pretty dry.
No, I agree. You're going to have to irrigate, no question. But setting up that bed properly with all the organic amendments in the beginning, you'll have real good production. No problem.
Well, I appreciate the help. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And it's Ann in Biloxi, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Where is Biloxi, Ann?
We're about 5 miles from Dinosaur Valley State Park.
Oh, really? Well, Granbury area, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a pretty part of Texas.
Oh, we love it. It's beautiful. My question today is about sod. We built a pad, and we're trying to prevent erosion, and we want to know if it's too late to sod with some Bermuda or Zoysia.
Not too late to sod with either one of those. With Zoysia especially, Ann, you need to go solid sod. Zoysia is a notoriously slow-growing grass, which can be a benefit from a maintenance standpoint, but it's a real heartache if you have it worn out or if you want it to spread laterally. It just grows too slowly. Bermuda grass, you could plant checkerboarded or you could plant solid sod, either one. Neither one of them are going to have any risk of being frozen planted at this year, at this time of the year, unless we have, just an unbelievably dramatic winter like we had in 83-84. And that kind of winter will kill established sod, established turf.
Okay. So, and then one other thing is we're planting it on top of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Grass of all kinds that we use pretty much around the country, but especially here in the South, the southern grasses, they are very tolerant of sand, clay, you know, anything when you're planting solid sod. No problem at all. You don't need to do very much bed preparation other than loosening it or, you know, aerating it lightly or spraying hydrogen peroxide to fluff it up just to get it looser. But you don't need to add compost or bed preparation or anything like that. Once it's planted, you can add the compost and the organic fertilizers and the sands and all that to the surface, the volcanic sands, to the surface after it's been planted.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for the info.
I appreciate the call. Good luck. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Last little break here for this week's show, and then we'll talk to a few more of you before we get out of here. Back after this. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth:
Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
As in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, be sure to get down to the SPCA, this west downtown Dallas, and check out two dogs. Last week, Carl, at the beginning of the show, was still available for adoption, and this week's dog, Chance, who is a real cutie. Brindle, 60-pound shepherd mix. You can see their pictures both on DirtDoctor.com under the SPCA of the Week button. Wayne in Dallas next up, calling from 660 Hill. Wayne,
how are you this morning?
Doing well.
Good. I bought some of your was it sick tree treatment?
You bought some sick tree treatment?
Well, you know what?
You're talking about Garrett juice, maybe?
Yeah, Garrett juice. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
But and it works great on all my plants. I have two, I think they're called dumb cane.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it for a year they were great, and now one of them's getting sick again. And the leaves turn a soft, mushy brown and just kind of die. Now the whole plant's starting to die. And I'm wondering, am I overdoing it? Do I need to repot or what?
Well, the most common thing that's done to interior plants like dracaenas and other interior plants too, Wayne, is people overwater. They overwater and over-fertilize. And we've learned kind of through trial and error over the years that interior plants, for the most part, can get away with a little less water than most people think. What do you remember about how often you've been watering?
During the summer, I was doing it every Saturday morning.
Once a week. Probably too often. We're probably on some of the interior plants at our house watering no more than once every 3 weeks or something like that. And the ones in my office, I do the watering there, and I probably don't water more than once every 2.5 to 3 weeks at the most. So you need to – the best – probe for an interior plant is a wooden pencil, and stick the point down in the soil, and you'll be able to tell by how the soil sticks to, you know, the sharpened part of the wood, whether it's too wet or too dry. It's a real good monitoring tool for watering your plants. But I bet you If you cut back, the Garrett juice is good, but I wouldn't be doing it more than on interior plants, probably more than once a month, and maybe as little as once a quarter.
Oh.
And then cut back on your watering as well. See, when you've got an interior plant like a Dracaena or an Aglaonema or a Diefenbachia or any of those plants that are commonly used inside like you have, they're used to, even though they might be in a understory condition out in the wild, they're still used to a higher light level than we're giving them when we move them into the house. And so what you have to do is adjust the watering down to compensate for that, and the fertilizing too. So if you do that, if the roots aren't too far gone, I think your plant will come back and be fine.
Okay. Both of them are over 6 feet tall. Can you chop them off and re-root them? Or?
Yeah, that's how they root the Dracaenas is that they – you said it was a dumb cane? So it's a different, yeah. Is it a big leaf?
About 6 feet by maybe, I'm sorry, about 6 inches by about 4 inches.
Yeah. Well, those plants, just like the Dracaenas, are propagated commercially by just cutting pieces of those canes and putting them in the soil to re-root. So the answer to your question is, yeah, you can do that.
So I can just chop it off at any level?
Chop off any living tissue. If it's already started to rot and get soggy, it's not going to re-root. It needs to be healthy tissue, and you can re-root that. But in the meantime, I'd try to keep the base plant alive if you can. Cut away the part that has gone bad and see if you can't get it back in good shape. And if not, take some cuttings off the part that is good. Put it in good organic potting soil. Put it in a bright light place, as bright as you can, and see if you can get it to root.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Just been killing them with over-kindness, it sounds like, in that case. A little too much water and a little too much fertilizer. Here's Kevin in Decatur, Texas. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Kevin. Well, I don't know what happened to Kevin. He says, suggestion for a raised bed in the hill country. I don't know if he was calling with a suggestion or if he wanted one. He wanted one? I couldn't hear you, Matt. He wanted one or he had one? Oh, with one. Okay. All right. I don't know what he was calling with. Let me try one more time, see if he's there. Kevin, you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There you are. What you got for us?
Well, I was listening to your fellow down in the hill country, and it sounds like the instead of doing a raised bed, if you did a slightly lowered bed so that your border is higher than your bed, that way when you get that rain, it'll sort of fill into your bed, and then of course do your like lasagna type bed prep.
Yeah.
And it should hold that moisture real well, even in the drought.
I don't have a problem with that in that kind of soil. For a lot of people with clay soils, that'd be a disaster. But in a hill country where it drains well, that'd be a pretty good thing if you could get the rock out. If you can't get the rock dug out, it's going to be hard to have that depression. But appreciate your tip, Kevin. Call us again, okay?
Cheers.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, enjoyed being with you very much this weekend. During the week when I'm not around, you go to dirtdoctor.com, sign up for our newsletter. It's free. And enjoy your gardens. And, of course, don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you next time.